Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read beginning in verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 16. And keep in mind here that what you're reading is that the Lord Jesus Christ, after His ascension, gave gifts unto men, and He did so for the sake of His body, for the sake of the work that would be done after His ascension into heaven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask You please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we may accomplish today something that only You can do, and that is to preach the Word of God effectually where those who believe can be edified and strengthened, and those who don't know You yet can believe and be saved. Father, we pray in addition for ourselves, we pray for the DeMichaels, Brother DeMichael there in Idaho, at Treasure Valley Baptist Church. We ask You please to fill him with Your Holy Spirit. And Father, now continually battling with leukemia, we pray that You'll give him supernatural strength to be able to do the work that You've called him to do until he finishes his course, and may he finish it with joy. Father, I pray that his church will continue to be strong and look forward to all the preparations they're making for pastor school. And I pray, Heavenly Father, You'll help them in all the capacity of the things You've given them to do. Father, we're very thankful today to be here. We pray again for the Hibbets, and we ask You please to provide them with a comfort, with a peace, with a grace that comes from You, Father, to give them strength, to give them assurance, and to give them that peace that really, really settles into their heart, that assuages the grief like nothing else can do. We ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, what you're reading about here concerns the body of Christ. It concerns what the Lord Jesus Christ did after His ascension to take care of His body. And you know, this morning in Sunday school, when we were studying about what happens to us after death, we notice that we have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. So every saved person, whether they're in this building or whether they've already gone on before or whether they're in another place this morning, they're in that body. Now, when a local church functions with Jesus Christ as its head, that local church begins to function like His body. And indeed it should, because the people in it are connected to that body. When they don't function that way, when it becomes more of a man's organization and more of a man's administration, then it gets to be a little bit more like a business and a little bit less like a church. Until sometimes it's all business and no church. Now, that's been our objective ever since we've been here, to function as the body of Christ. For Christ to be the head, for the Holy Spirit to be the leader, for the Word of God to be the authority, and for us to simply follow what He's showing us to do. And so, you know, you constantly have to pray and check your heart and be sure that that's where you continue to stay. But having said that, then, what would be the benefits of church membership? Now, many of you are already church members, and so you might be saying, well, why are we having this lesson today? After we finish, I think it'll be clear to you. What's the benefit of being part of a local church? And today we'll look at, I think there are a lot more things that I could say than I'm going to say today. Because if I gave you all the benefits that are here, we'd be here till supper time. Well, not all of us. I think some of us, it's like a lawyer said one time when he was holding a seminar. He said, if you finish your job before I finish my job, just leave quietly. I think a bunch of you would probably bail out and say, you know, there's benefits to being a member of a church, but not that one, not on this day. That preacher preaches too long. One of the benefits of being of a church membership is that the church gives us a way corporately to praise God. Praise for God is one of the benefits. Now, I like to sing, and I like to pray and all that. But you know something? It's one thing to sing in the shower. That's the only place that Mary Mixon can get away with it. I'm just telling something that George said a long time ago. He never gave me that privilege to be in the next room when you were in there doing that. But all I know, he let me know something about that a long time ago. Here, see, when you got a bunch of people around you, it doesn't make any difference because the only one that can hear you. Well, there you go. Amen. Amen. And then you can sing out and nobody knows. Amen. No, but the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Amen. And the Lord does find joy in that. But anyway, the thing about that is it gives us a place together to praise for God. The Bible says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I'll tell you what, something about us being together to sing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, is not just good for us. We're admonished by those words and we are taught by those words. Not just good for us. It's good for Him. He likes hearing the sound. Years ago when we lived in Beeville, we walked just like we do now. We walked in our neighborhood. And sometimes we'd be walking on Friday night while the high school was playing football. And in that stadium that was there, if you were walking up, let's say, I have a little bit of trouble remembering some of the names of the street, Tyler, if you're walking up Tyler Street and you're heading toward that stadium from where we lived, as you got closer to it, if Beeville scored a touchdown, you would hear this, this big roaring cheer coming from all the people just because some kid carried a piece of leather across a white line without getting knocked down. But I'll tell you what, when you hear that, it's a pretty inspiring sound. Can you imagine what it's like when the Lord God is up in heaven and you've got saints all over the world in churches like this praising God, and really the purpose is to lift Him up and not themselves? That must be quite an experience. And to imagine that corporately we're all going to be together in heaven one of these days, singing as one grand choir, I'm telling you what, is a sight I cannot wait to behold. It's a choir that I can't wait to join. It is an opportunity that I can't wait to experience for myself. Praise for God. It's absolutely wonderful. You know, though, what the Bible says, He says, God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. Imagine if in a local church you are functioning in the capacity, not that somebody drug you into or not somebody saddled you with, but the capacity in the position that God wanted you to be in. The Bible says, God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. God is praised when we are where we're supposed to be, doing what He wants us to do. That's a tremendous thing. So being in the local church gives us praise for God, but that's not all. It also gives us perfection for saints. Look again here in verse 12, He says, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. You know, you can only do so good at home in your own study. God has designed it that whatever happens when you are under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and in fellowship with the believers and in a Sunday school class and all the, or a men's Bible study or a women's Bible study and all the other things that take place in the ministry of the church, God does something in your life to perfect you. And He's not just talking about cleanliness or holiness, and He's not talking just about something like sinlessness, not that. He's talking about perfection. When you go back in the Old Testament and you read about Noah, Noah was perfect. He wasn't sinless. But he was just the man for the job to build and float that boat and get all those animals in there. I mean, he says a male and a female. Can you imagine the job he had figuring out the mosquitoes? I wish he'd have left them out. And Job was not sinless, but the Bible says that Job was perfect. And what he's saying is that's the perfect man for this battle between Satan and me over this man. This thing's going to work out right, and you've read all of the book of Job. You know it worked out right. Job was the perfect man. All right, so for the perfection of the saints, everybody that gets saved according to this scripture, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, God has something for you to do. Now people come to church and they say, what might that be? They're very ready to start serving the Lord right away. And I always say, sit a spell. Get used to the preaching. Let the Word of God go to work on you. Let that surface in your heart. What God is preparing you for, let the need present itself in the church. And what you're going to find is that there's a melding of your ability, your perfection, and the need that works together like gears in perfect synchronization that only God could do for the perfection of the saints. In other words, us being together under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God puts us in a situation where we can become a whole body fitly joined together. And have this effectual working in the measure of every part. And it's beautiful to see as God puts that together and everybody comes into their place. The beauty of it is no one person is more important than the other person in the thing that he does when he's doing the thing God wants him to do. We all have that place where one joint supplies to the other the thing that he or she needs. That can't happen any other place than in a good local church that is well ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, by folks who believe the Bible and let the Holy Spirit of God lead in their lives to make them what He wants them to be. And the church is beautiful when it comes together like that. I'll tell you something else. Not only does the church give us praise for God and perfection for saints, but it also gives us preparation for ministry. It also gives us, you know, you might be noticing this outline has P's and M's in it. Or P's and S's or P's and G's, but it all starts with P. P is easy. These guys that outline sermons here, P, there are a lot of words that start with P that help us here. Praise for God, perfection for saints, and preparation for ministry. You know, what happens is that a lot of times when people are in church, they get called to preach. Or they're in church and they are perfected by the Lord to teach. And by being under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and in fellowship in a church and reading in that Bible, what happens is God prepares you for not only that perfect work we do in synchronization with each other in this body, but also for the opportunity to minister in a way through teaching people in the church to prepare them, or even to be prepared to leave and minister somewhere else. Lynn and Pam Woods, that on the mission field in Moldova, are there now because in local churches they were prepared for ministry. It's an unusual thing, but Brother Hamilton knew the work in Moldova required having a man that could come that was a contractor that understood various methods of construction and could also teach other people to work with him. So he's going around the country in his furlough preaching in various churches. He comes along here and he says, you know, preaching along like that, and God deals with Lynn and Pam Woods to surrender and go to the mission field. They sell the business, sell the house, sell all the assets that are associated with the business, go on deputation, and they're over there building right now. You know where that preparation came from? Right where you are. Being a member of a local church. The benefit of being a member of a local church. Can you imagine? They wouldn't be there now if they were sitting out on Sunday or doing what he would like to have been doing, fishing. They had to be here. So you know something, with you being here, if God has His hand on your life and wants you to be in the ministry, your preparation begins here. We have missionaries that call us that are on deputation. They want to go to the field, and they've got to call and talk to Randy when they do. And, you know, Randy's more like a detective at that time. Not really. He's very generous and kind to the folks that call in. But truly, what we're looking for is the men that God wants here to present their work to us. And so not everybody that calls gets to come in. They all get to talk to us. And we pray for all of them, and we discuss them, but we're looking for the ones God wants here. Because as Randy says, if God is going to put them on the mission field and God has called them to do that, that He's going to get them there whether we do it or not. But if He has called us to support them, we better be supporting the ones God wants us to support. That's the whole key there. And so when they call in, one of the questions He'll ask them is, how many people have you led to the Lord that you've discipled that are now serving the Lord in the church? And you know what the standard answer is? Zero. And the reason is, we'll say, well, what have you been doing? Well, I've been running a bus route, been mowing the lawn, been cleaning the commodes, been doing, you know, I've been an associate pastor to the pastor, I've been teaching a Sunday school class, been going to the jail, doing the jail ministry, been going to the nursing home. That's a lot of work. But the funny thing is, when they go to the foreign field, there's not going to be a bus route, there's not going to be a Sunday school, there's not going to be a building to clean. It's going to be you and everybody else in culture shock and language barrier and currency and a sad wife and kids that are all confused, and you're going to be trying to figure out what to do there. And you know what? You haven't been prepared for the ministry. Do you understand? He asked a fellow the question one day, and I saw that fellow later, maybe, I don't know what it was, months later for sure, almost a year later, and he said, you know what? That was the most provoking question I've ever been asked in my life. I went back and told my pastor what he said, and my pastor said, that was an excellent question. You need to start preparing, boy. And that guy wrote a 16-week discipleship course and taught it to the entire church and is now discipling, a convert. Do you understand? You got that. That's, you learn that in local church. That's how you're prepared. Men get called to preach here. People are trained to teach here. When Randy and Brian studied at the Bible Doctrine Institute, which is a correspondence course, to prepare them for the ministry, both of them said independently, I thank God for our church because the things I'm learning are reinforcing the things I've already learned. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because you're getting prepared. If God wants to use you in some other capacity than where you are now, He prepares you. Brian and Mary Beth were very well prepared to do what He's doing, pastoring a church now, and they did it right where you're sitting, and right where you're teaching, and right where you're working, and right where you're studying a men's Bible study, just like that. Church gives us praise for God, and perfection for saints, and preparation for ministry, and also place for service. Place for service. Look here in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, the one thing I keep hearing every time people come to visit this church, and I'm talking about maybe guests that we invite in from out of town, like a missionary or a preacher, they look around here and they go, this building, these buildings, this property, they're in such good shape. They'd notice that right away. Well, we've traveled a lot and we've been to some places where you go, and I mean the weeds are growing up in the parking lot, and the walls have been needing to be painted for several years, and the bathrooms, let me just say, they need to be updated. And a few things like that. And I realize there are some times when that's the result of the lack of funds. I understand that. But I also realize sometimes that's people not serving that could be serving. I saw a pastor many years ago. He was the first one there, got everything open, all things turned on. Everybody left. He was the last one there. He was throwing out the trash. He was making sure that all the bathrooms were presentable and all that kind of stuff. And I said, doesn't anybody help you with this? He said, no, these people all just leave. And I have to take care of this. Well, there are a couple things about that. If you pick up after your kids when they're little, you'll be picking up after your kids when they're old. You got to give people a place to serve. That's part of the problem. May I tell you something? There's no lack of opportunity for service when you consider all the things that can be done. There's service in prayer. There's service in Bible distribution. There's service in the port ministry. There's service in music. There's service in physical facilities. There's service in cleaning. There's service in the nursery. There's service in Sunday school rooms. There's service in working with Sunday school. There's service in so many capacities. And may I say something? Isn't it great when it's in your heart to serve, to have a place to serve? How wonderful it is to be able to do that, to be a musician and have a place to serve. And know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is the way that I'm ministering to the people of God for the praise of God. It's a wonderful thing. A place of service. You know what? We are designed as Christians to serve. And if you find yourself not in that capacity, ask the Lord, Lord, where can I serve? And watch as He prepares you. Watch as He perfects you. And then watch as that place opens. And watch the fulfillment. Somebody says, I bet the ministry is hard. It is. It has its ups and downs. Sometimes more downs than ups. But let me tell you something. There's no other place in the world I'd rather be. Because when you have the opportunity to serve somebody else for the sake of the Lord God and on their growth and eternal life, I can't think of a higher reward than satisfaction seeing them get better because of the service. Gives us a place to serve. Being a part of a local church membership does something else. It gives you, listen, people for comfort. It gives you people for comfort. Tell you a little story. It's what really made me think about this. You know, I've had the opportunity to be with the Hibbets frequently throughout Linda's illness and throughout this terminal cancer. And every time I would leave Jerry, he would say, I just don't know what people without a church do at a time like this. Tell the people at the church that I love them. And I would say, and I'll tell you for them because you've told me, we love you. I'm going to tell you something. You don't even know, if you've never been on the receiving end of that kind of comfort, what that's like until you get there. But I want you to know something. You don't want to know what it's like to try to go through that without a church. Because every time we see something like this, Yvette said the same thing. I just don't know how people do this who don't have a good church. People for comfort. You know we're so funny. We're just people. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. But boy, when the Spirit of God gets in us and there's a need of that degree, we get on our best behavior. And you know something? You form a lifelong memory in the heart and mind of people who need help at a time like that. It's unforgettable. The sense of comfort that comes, not only by the Spirit of God, but by people who are filled with the Spirit of God when they extend that comfort to you. And I thank God for church. You know, the church gives us praise for God. It gives us perfection for saints. It's where we grow up. Preparation for ministry, where we're actually capable to go and do something somewhere else for God if called. A place to serve right here and people to comfort and people for comfort. Listen, I don't know how much longer it's going to be before the Lord Jesus Christ comes here, but we're all going to be on the receiving end of this one of these days if He doesn't come soon. And I want to be right here. And I want to be right here with you when that day comes. Because I find comfort just being here when I see your faces. I'll tell you something else the church gives us. It gives us prayer for souls. It gives us prayer for souls. Wednesday night we get in here on prayer meeting, and I noticed Wednesday night kind of growing a little bit. More and more people are starting to catch on to the fact that there's something really going on there. I love Wednesday nights when we get in here and we sing a few songs. I stand up and said, anybody want to praise the Lord for something God's done in your life that's good? You want other people to know it? Hands start shooting up. And boy, the folks here are so gracious because they just get to the point. I want to praise the Lord because He answered my prayer about a job, or He answered my prayer about so-and-so got saved. And you hear that, God's answering prayers. So this morning, as I told you, we got here at 8:30, and as people were praying, we began to put the names here on the wall with the projector. So next Sunday when we get here, those names will be there. We don't have to call them out. We can start praying in our groups for those names. And you know, I believe with all of my heart that there are names that were up there on that wall today, and there are names that will be up there on that wall today, and one of these days those names will come off because God's going to do something in their lives. I know they have to make the choice, but when you get earnestly praying for somebody who's lost, and you get earnestly witnessing to somebody that's lost, and this combination of the sowing of the seed of the Word of God and the watering of the seed of the Word of God with tears from saints praying for the souls, God's going to do something. And I believe with all my heart you're going to see some folks saved. And listen, it's the prayers for the souls. It's people who are concerned. Back in the days when we were in, before I ever even went to Bible college, and we were in Ibuan Pastor, and we were helping out in that mission. Once a month on Friday night, some men would get together, usually about a dozen, for an all-night prayer meeting. And I told Brian about that when he was in his 30s and I was in my late 50s. He said, let's get together for an all-night prayer meeting. I said, I don't know if I want to do that so much anymore. You know, when I was in my 30s, that sounded pretty good. But now that I'm where I am, that doesn't sound so good anymore. Huh? But we'd do it, and we'd do it once a month. And you know what would happen? Two things happen. Number one, we'd be praying for folks that were lost. And in due time, some of those folks were getting saved. But the other thing, and it was the strangest deal I'd ever seen, somehow or another, I guess somebody would just say, no, I'm going to an all-night prayer meeting. And the friend they would tell that to would say, can I come? Now, I don't understand a lost person going to an all-night men's prayer meeting at a church. I don't get that. But I saw this happen a half a dozen times if I saw it once. And if I'm exaggerating, then it was five times. But I saw it happen. And invariably, before that night was over, that guy was saved. That's just incredible. Except it makes perfect sense that God would save souls over whom other men are praying. One of those fellows that got saved was a fellow named Tony. Tony's shorter than me and twice me at the same time. So you got the dimension. He's a big fella. Wasn't very tall, he was just a big fella. And Tony ended up in the lab there in Beeville to have lab work done. And the lab in Beeville had a glass front on it so you could see out into the parking lot where you'd parked your car. And while Tony's sitting there waiting to get his blood taken, he's looking out there and somebody's stealing his car. He said, you never seen this man run so fast in all your life. Tony ran out there with those... all that he had to carry, and he went over there and caught that guy by surprise. He just boom like that, put him in a vise. And that guy's kicking and screaming, trying to get away, and he said, you're not getting away from Tony. No way. And he got somebody else to call the police, and the police came and they arrested him. Of course, they threw the kid in jail. Well, when we got to the prayer meeting, Tony got upset. He said, I'm upset for that kid. He ought to know better than to do that. We ought to be praying for him, and he gave us the name. We prayed for him in one of those all-night prayer meetings, and then Tony said, you know, when I wake up after this, I'm going to go to the jail and see him. He went over there to the jail to see that guy and led him to Jesus Christ. You know, in jail, they become artists, and so he got a white handkerchief, the guy did, that tried to steal the car, and did a real neat and artistic thing with the cross of Jesus, and thanks to Tony for leading me to Jesus Christ, now I'm saved and I'm your brother in Christ. Something like that was on the deal. He came back the next month and showed us that deal in church, and we were like, this is too much. You know what that is? Prayers for souls. Prayers for souls, because you got a lot of people talking to Jesus Christ about the same person that needs to be saved. And God does something with that. That's the benefit. That's the benefit of being in a local church. But that's not all. Not only is there praise for God and perfection for saints and preparation for the ministry. Do you realize, I'm hitting that thing again. You realize there's some young men here today, and one of these days, they're going to be sent out of this church to go somewhere. We don't know who they are yet. All we're doing is putting a lot of preparation into them. Our prayer is, God, allow us, while we're here, to give them all we can give them to prepare them as far as we can go until you're ready for them to do something else. That's exciting. And a place for service where you serve out your days and finish your course right here, and prayer for comfort, thank God, and prayer for souls, people for comfort and prayers for souls. And then this, preaching for sinners. How many of you were in a church lost when you got saved? How many of you, just raise your hand. Now just keep your hand up and everybody look around. It's a good thing the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in local churches. Look at all these people that got saved under the preaching of the Word of God in a church. I believe in a balanced diet. That's why you don't get preaching of the gospel every single Sunday morning. We might see people saved, you'd be starving to death. You need to grow, but thank God we can always at some point put in something about Jesus Christ. Now I cannot imagine today who in here might or might not be saved. I have no idea. The Holy Spirit knows, and so I just want to say this. If being in a local church provides you an opportunity to hear preaching for sinners, then listen, if you are man enough or woman enough to admit that you're a sinner, then I'm preacher enough to introduce you to Jesus Christ. All we need is sinners. That's a hard thing to find these days. Daisy Tippin told me about Brush Arbor meetings. And Brush Arbor meetings were a thing I had no clue about until she described them to me. But you go out into the country and you cut down trees, and the trunks become the columns, and the bigger limbs become the ceiling joists, if you will, and the rafters, and then all the branches and limbs become the roof, and you get under that thing, and they split some logs, and you sit down on all that stuff, and the preacher comes out, and everybody preaches, and they have dinner on the grounds, and a baptism, and the whole thing, and that sounds like a beautiful, beautiful thing. Anyway, she was telling me that there was a mourner's bench. And I said, what in the world is a mourner's bench? And she said, child, where you been? I said, I was in the Catholic Church. We always had the biggest buildings. We didn't need a Brush Arbor, so I didn't know. But she said, yeah, there was. She said, the mourner's bench, that's where all the sinners sat on the front row. And I said, well, how did you get anybody to admit they're a sinner? And she said, child, back then, everybody. We all knew who the sinners were. She said even the sinners knew who the sinners were. She said that preacher would get to preach and they'd be sitting up there on the front row. Ooh. You know it's getting good. I'd be sitting up there on that front row. And she said I'd be sitting there in the back and I'd watch them start to stoop over like that a little bit. Said I knew the Holy Spirit of God was getting on them. She said then they'd stoop over a little bit more. She said one time a fellow just fell right off the bench onto the ground. God was dealing with that sinner. All we need is a sinner. And I got a message for you. And the message is that Jesus Christ loved you so much He died for you. You say, what do you mean? He let God blame Him for all the sins you've committed and then died for them as if He was the one that committed them so that He paid the punishment. And like a friend of mine said, why would you go to hell with your sins paid for? That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. He died to save you. And all He's expecting you to do in return is simply to receive what He did for you that you might be saved. And then He comes inside of you and gives you His righteousness. And you can trust His righteousness to start changing you. And you become more like Him because He's working on the inside. What a wonderful thing. Preaching for sinners. In a local church. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. I didn't preach very much gospel to you, but I did preach enough that if the Holy Spirit is agitating your soul, you know you're lost. And if you are here today and you know you're lost, Randy and Maureen Knuppel are sitting right back there on the back row behind Orville next to the double doors. When we have an invitation, you simply get up out of your seat and go back there like many others have before you and say, I need to know more about how to be saved. He'll show you right out of the Bible what the Bible says about salvation. You can leave here today a saved person. Amen. Preaching for sinners. I'll tell you something. If you're here today without Christ, don't you leave here without Him. This is better than American Express. Remember the old American Express commercial? Don't leave home without it? No. Don't leave this church without Jesus Christ. Not after all He's done for you and all He'll do for you after you receive Him. I love the local church. I love all that God does for us in this local church and in good local churches. And then, let me tell you something, folks. There are a number of really good churches scattered around throughout this world. They pray for us. We pray for some of them by name. I was praying for some pastors this morning. The ones that I know are praying for us. And let me tell you something. If we just keep on praising God and perfecting saints and preparing people for the ministry, and finding our place of service and providing comfort to people who need it and praying for souls and preaching for sinners, when Jesus comes, He can at least say, that was a job well done. Amen. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. We're asking You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to be the church that You want us to be. Help us never to take for granted that we can do this on autopilot. You said, without Me, You can do nothing. And we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to do something in us, Father, that only You can do. We just want to be willing vessels. Today, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, perhaps you haven't found your place of service, but you're looking. You know what? I'll pray with you about that. Anybody here today? I'm not going to be looking at names and faces. Your heads are bowed. Just slip your hand up and say, be praying for me. I want the Lord to give me a place of service here. There you go. Amen. Amen. I see that. Amen. Anybody? Yes, I see. Thank you. Yes, sir. Amen. All right, Father, You've seen those hands of those that have raised. Just a few folks here that said, I'd like to find that place, my place of service here. Father, I know something. When You've got willing-hearted people, You always have room. And I'm asking You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, present the need. And when You present the need, Father, prepare the soul that they may be in just such a case as that. Perhaps here you are and God's been dealing with you about the possibility. You're not even sure if you're called, but the possibility that you might be used in the ministry at some point. And you just want to be prepared. Is there anybody that raise your hand today and say, just be praying for me that God, yes, sir, I see that. We'll be prepared. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Just pray for me. Thank you. That God will be working on me, preparing me. I've seen four or five hands there for that place of ministry. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, You'll work in the lives of these that have raised their hand today, specifically knowing that they are making themselves available and sensing some leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that You're working on them about the possibility of being in the ministry. I pray, oh God, they will devote themselves to that preparation and will devote ourselves to help them prepare. Perhaps you're here today, and certainly we know about one family, is perhaps you're here today and you're just desperately in need of comfort and you want somebody to be praying with you specifically about that. Is there somebody here today that said, preacher, pray for me. The Spirit of God amongst these folks will bring me some comfort. It's really tough. Anybody like that today? Pray for me. Thank you. Amen. I see that. Our Father, You've seen that. That hand, and that's a special need today, and in a way that only Your Holy Spirit can use us, even without knowing specifically, I pray You'll bring that exceptional comfort to her and to the Hibbets family today, Father. Oh God, I pray that the fellowship of the saints will be sweet. Perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. You know that, I don't know that, but maybe the Holy Spirit of God has really been dealing with you about that and you want to be sure about it. You're not sure. Is there somebody here today that simply slip your hand up, put it right back down, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure whether I'm saved or not, but I'd like to be sure. Anybody like that today? Father, I don't think I saw that hand. Is there a hand? I happen to see a little flash if you meant for me to see it, just let me make sure I see it clearly. Father, it seems that all are at least not concerned or completely assured of their salvation. My prayer is today, Father, that if for some reason they're not, that You'll stir their hearts continuously until they are concerned enough about their own souls to be saved. And certainly for these we prayed for this morning, Father, keep them upon our hearts that we may really see You work, not only with the ones we are asked to put up there, but the others that are being prayed for, that Jesus Christ will work to bring them to Christ. For we ask You to do all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.